Hey, tailgaters! Ross of the Pigskin Tales Podcast here. Feel that summer heat? It's not just the sun, it's the thrill of upcoming college football season, stoking the coals. So get ready for the season. Dive into the history books with Homefield, the premium collegiate apparel brand from Indianapolis. Homefield crafts incredibly comfortable gear designed with iconic vintage nods over 150 colleges. A library of history right on your chest. Homefield is the Indiana Jones of collegiate apparel, uncovering hidden gems from school archives. Unique mascots, logos, and even unforgettable moments frozen in time. Visit homefieldapparel.com and shop the archives. Homefield Apparel, where comfort, nostalgia, and the spirit of college football history unite. Again, that's homefieldapparel.com.
It was legendary college coach Paul Bear Bryant that once said, when you stick your head above the crowd, you're going to have people try to knock your block off. And when you win, there's glory enough for everybody. But when you lose, there's glory for none. Well, think about that as we talk about the G-men firing their coach and GM. Herschel Walker wins the Heisman, and the first Grey Cup game ever is played on your football history headlines for December 4th. Coming up in just a moment. PigskinDispatch.com is a proud affiliate of the Sports History Network, the headquarters of sports yesteryear. This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. This is your host, Darren Hayes, and we're broadcasting from the Pig Pen in Western Pennsylvania, bringing you the memories of the gridiron, one day at a time. So, with Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff supplying us with the tunes, let's go no huddle through today's football history headlines. Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com, and welcome to the football history headlines for December 4th. And we're going to talk about all the football history, and as we get right at it, we'll start off in 1909 at Rosedale Field in Toronto at the first ever Grey Cup game that was played. It was the University of Toronto Blues surpassing the Toronto Parkdale Canoe Club 26-6, in which completed the Blues an undefeated season. Staying at the Grey Cup, December 4, 1920, at Varsity Stadium in Toronto, the University of Toronto Blues won their fourth title as they knocked off their hometown rivals, the Toronto Argonauts, by the score of 16-3 at the 8th Grey Cup. One more Grey Cup game, and it came in 1926 on December 4th. For the 14th Grey Cup, it was the Ottawa Senators that kept the trophy with a 10-7 edging of the University of Toronto Blues. December 4th, 1945, the Downtown Athletic Club presented Army's fullback Felix Doc Blanchard with their prestigious Heisman Award trophy. The Heisman.com write-up on Doc says he helped Army to a second straight national title, and he still had another year of eligibility, for he was the first junior and the first player from West Point to win the Heisman. If you remember on December 3rd segment, we foreshadowed Doc by stating that he took fifth in the voting for the Heisman of the 1946 award. A year earlier, in 1944, he took third in the Heisman voting. The Black Knights were undefeated in Blanchard's three seasons, with the team sporting an amazing 27-0-1 record and three national championships. Doc was more than just a running back, as he was a great place kicker and punter, in addition to playing linebacker on defense. His pairing with Glenn Davis in the backfield may be the best tandem in collegiate football history. The 1945 season saw Doc run for 722 yards and 16 touchdowns. That's the way to win a Heisman. December 4th, 1948. For the first time since 1907, Auburn and Alabama met on the football field for what is now called the 13th Iron Bowl game. Alabama was not real hospitable to Auburn in this reunion as they walloped the Tigers 55-0 at Birmingham's Legion Field. December 4th, 1949, Bob Gage sets an NFL record with a 97-yard touchdown run. The American Football Database guides us on this story as Gage, who was at the time playing with the Pittsburgh Steelers, took the ball on a fake punt against the Chicago Bears and raced 97 yards for the score. The Bears were just one of the top teams at the time, and let's just say those Steelers were not plainly not near the top. Sometimes when you have nothing to lose, you let everything fly. And to fake a punt from your own 3-yard line, that takes some stones. December 4th, 1956, Heisman.com lists the 22nd Heisman Award went to none other than Paul Hornung, the great Notre Dame back. Hornig was the first player to win the award while playing on a team with a losing record. As far as trophy winners from Notre Dame, well, Paul was the fifth and of the previous 14 seasons to have done so. He accounted for over half of the Irish points in the 1956 season as he rushed for 420 yards on 94 runs and completed 59 of 111 passes for 917 yards and three scores. The second place finisher in the voting that year was Tennessee's Johnny Majors, who had later become the legendary coach in the college ranks. December 4th, 1961, the Washington Redskins used the very first pick in the 1962 NFL draft to select Heisman winner Ernie Davis from the University of Syracuse. Not only was Ernie the first African-American to win the Heisman Trophy, but he was also the first black player to be drafted with a top pick in the NFL draft. December 4, 1962, according to the Suitor.com article, inventor F.H. Shute files a patent for the folding stadium chair. The design was practical and for a godsend for anyone that had sat on a flat aluminum bleacher for a long period of time, like 3 to 4 hours of a football game. Shute had a molded plastic attached to a folding metal frame to give some comfort to the rear ends of sports fans around the world. U.S. patent number 3.0066980. Now let's take a break from our football history headlines for just a moment. Focus in on that subscribe button on the Embed player. Click it so you get all the podcasts released right to you as soon as we release them. Also, you can reach us at pigskindispatch@gmail.com. Right now, I've got a message from one of my friends at the Sports History Network.
Do you wish you knew more about the 100 seasons of the NFL? You're in luck because you found the Football History Dude podcast, where each episode is a journey back in time to learn about the rich history of the NFL. From the founding of the league in an auto showroom, all the way to what it is today, America's favorite sport and a behemoth of an industry. My name is Ernie Chapman. Football is my passion, and I want you to come along with me each week to explore the yesteryear of the gridiron. So hop on board my DeLorean, and let's get this baby up to 88 miles per hour.
December 4th, 1982, the Heisman Award win this year went to the great Herschel Walker of the University of Georgia. The webpage on the fantastic running back on Heisman.com states that in his three seasons with the Bulldogs, he amassed 5,097 yards rushing, which was an NCAA record for 3 years of career. Herschel was the best of a rusher in high school, too, as he was just in his senior year alone at Johnson County High School in Wrightsville, Georgia. Walker put up an astronomical 3,167 yards to lead his school to a state championship and earn himself the rights to the first Dial Award for the 1979 Scholar Athlete of the Year. Per the article in the 1982 at Georgia, he ran for 1,752 yards and 16 scores while leading the Bulldogs to an 11-0 regular season record and a national title matchup against Penn State in the Sugar Bowl. Now it's time for some of your rapid-fire gridiron headlines. December 4th, 1993, at the second SEC championship game, it was number 9 Florida beating out number 16 Alabama 28-13. December 4th, 1999, the SEC championship game in that season saw some revenge from 1993's game as number 7 Alabama defeated number 5 Florida 34-7. December 4th, 2004, number 3 Auburn outlasted number 15 Tennessee 38-28 in the 2004 SEC championship game. December 4th, 2010, in a barn burner at the 2010 Big 12 Championship game, the number 10 Oklahoma Sooners edged out the number 13 Nebraska Cornhuskers 23-20. December 4th, 2017, the New York Football Giants fired head coach Ben McAdoo and manager Jerry Reese after a 2-10 start. Another factor that may have come into play with the release of these two was the decision to sit two-time Super Bowl winning quarterback Eli Manning mid-season to play journeyman quarterback Geno Smith. All right, it's time to think about some birthdays of Hall of Famers on this December 4th, and we'll start off in the year 1901 in Churchville, Iowa. Notre Dame's 1924 captain and center, Adam Walsh, was born. The AwesomeFootballFoundation.org website proclaims that Walsh was one of the key blockers for the famed Four Horsemen of Notre Dame in the Irish National Championship season of 24. In one particular game against Army that season, Lighthouse Harry Wilson of the Cadets was playing havoc on the defensive scheme of the Irish. The clever Walsh decided to get into Wilson's head, and with the two started to banter back and forth so much that it seemed as if Lighthouse Harry was thinking more about what retort he could say back at Walsh more than finding the holes in escaping tacklers. Hence, another W was marked up for Notre Dame. The National Football Foundation selected Adam Walsh to enter into the College Football Hall of Fame in 1968.
December 4th, 1908, head to Bob Washington. Another great center for the Fighting Irish was born, and one Tommy Yar. Yar might be more remembered down in stretch for the 1930 season in a game against SMU, according to the NFF's bio on Tommy. The Mustangs were giving the Irish fits all day, and that was until Tommy Yar decided to change the fate of the Irish as he picked off three SMU passes in the fourth quarter. Tommy Yar went into the College Football Hall of Fame in 1987. December 4th, 1942, Frank Emanuel of the University of Tennessee linebacker arrived to his parents' delight. As the captain of the Volunteers' 1965 season, Emanuel was a consensus first-team All-American selection per the footballfoundation.org webpage on his career. The National Football Foundation selected Frank Emanuel in the College Football Hall of Fame in 2004. Soon after graduation, Frank Emanuel was the first draft choice of the Miami Dolphins in 1966, and due to a bidding war between the Finns and rival league AFL, he made it into the cover of Sports Illustrated. This former player is a good person too, as his biography lists many times of how he has helped make his local community a better place for the residents to live there. December 4th, 1984, Brookfield, Wisconsin. Former Wisconsin Badger and Cleveland Browns offensive tackle Joe Thomas celebrates the day of his birth. Joe, according to the NFF, was a unanimous first-team All-American in 2006. Thomas became the first player in Wisconsin history to claim the Outland Trophy as the most outstanding interior lineman in the nation among his many, many awards on his great play. Joe Thomas found his place in the College Football Hall of Fame in 2019, and after school, Thomas was the third overall pick in the 2007 NFL Draft by the Browns, where he played all 11 of his seasons and for his career. I'm quite sure soon that as soon as he's eligible, he will be a member of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. It's only a matter of time because he was that dominant of a player at his position. We've got a great podcast lined up for you tomorrow on the December 5th Pigskin Dispatch podcast as the first polycarbonate helmet is announced, the World Bowl Thriller, and Allen and Brown win the Heisman, all coming up on tomorrow's podcast, so don't miss it. Make sure you subscribe. Check us out at pigskindispatch.com, email us at pigskindispatch@gmail.com, or look at us on sportshistorynetwork.com or your local podcast aggregate. That's all the football history we have today, folks. Join us back tomorrow for more of your football history. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com. Hey there, Sports History fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
Each week, the official Football Learning Academy podcast will take you deep into the history of pro football through interviews with players, coaches, or administrators in the NFL, as well as interviews with Pro Football Hall of Fame selectors, authors, and historians. You'll learn how the game evolved and important moments that shaped the sport into what it is today. And don't miss the Pro Football History Nugget of the Week. Listen to the official Football Learning Academy podcast on the Sports History Network.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.